नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitriketu meets the Lord, and I guess we should read text 46 first. What's on the board? 47. So I'll just read the translation. O limited Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever a living entity does in this material world is well known to you, because you are the Supersoul. In the presence of the sun, there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glow worm. Similarly, because you know everything, in your presence, there is nothing for me to make known. Text 47. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Sakala Jagatstiti Layo Dayeshaya Duravasitatma Gataye Kuyoginam Bida Paramahansaya Namastubhyam Bhagavate Sakala Jagatstiti Layo Dayeshaya Garavasitatma Gataye Kuyoginam Bida Paramahansaya. Ladies. Namaha, all obeisances, tubhyam, unto you, Bhagavate, your lordship, sakala, Jagat of the cosmic manifestation. Sthiti of the maintenance. Laya, dissolution. Udaya and creation. Ishaya unto the Supreme Lord. Duravasita, impossible to understand. Atma Gataye, whose own position. Kuyoginam, of those who are attached to the objects of the senses. Vida, by the false understanding of separateness. Paramahansaya, unto the Supreme Pure. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, You are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this cosmic manifestation. For persons who are too materialistic and who always see separateness do not have eyes with which to see You. They cannot understand Your real position, and therefore they conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of Your opulence. My Lord, You are the Supreme Pure, and You are full in all opulences. Therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto You. Please repeat. My dear Lord, You are the Creator, maintainer, annihilator of this cosmic manifestation. But persons who are too materialistic and who always see separateness do not have eyes with which to see You. They cannot understand Your real position. And therefore they conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of Your opulence. My Lord, You are the Supreme Pure, and You are full in all six opulences. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto You. Purport. Atheistic men think that the cosmic manifestation has come about by chance, by a combination of matter without reference to God. Materialistic so-called chemists and atheistic philosophers always try to avoid even the name of God in relation to the cosmic manifestation. For them, God's creation is impossible to understand because they are too materialistic. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Paramahansa, or the Supreme Pure. Therefore, those who are sinful, being very much attached to material sense enjoyment, and therefore engaging in material activities like asses, are the lowest of men. All their so-called scientific knowledge is null and void because of their atheistic temperament. Thus they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the text again. My dear Lord, You are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this cosmic manifestation. For persons who are too materialistic and who always see separateness do not have eyes with which to see You. They cannot understand Your real position, and therefore they conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of Your opulence. My Lord, You are the Supreme Pure, and You are full in all six opulences. Therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto You. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tadamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Sadharane. Krishna consciousness, we're trying to not only change our activities, but we're trying to change our consciousness. And part of the consciousness is explained here, that we have to develop the vision to see how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. Sarabhutastam atmanam. Sarabhutanichatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshanaha. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me, Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Yomam pashati sarvatra, sarvam chamayi pashati, tasyaham na pranashami, sa chame na pranashati. And for one who can see me everywhere, and who can see everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. Unfortunately, most people are not trained in the science of how to become Krishna conscious. They're trained in the science of how to become absorbed in material consciousness. Namely, that we are supposed to be the controllers here. That is, we just are supposed to do whatever our senses and mind dictate to us, or what other people's senses and mind dictate to us. And we're supposed to do that in order to satisfy the senses, however they're dictating. So this is called materialistic. But people don't believe in Krishna. They think Krishna is just a product of someone's imagination or an exaggeration or so many other things. But they don't believe that there is a person who has all opulence, whether you call him Krishna or Rama or Jehovah, whatever. They don't really believe there's a person who's the proprietor of everything, the enjoyer of everything, and the friend of everyone. They think that they should be the proprietor of everything, that they should be the enjoyer of everything, and that only they can be the friend of anyone. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is meant to present Krishna and Gyanena Tutadaganam, Yeshanashitam Atmanaha, Tesham Adityavaj Gyanam, Prakashiti Tatparam. One, however, one is enlightened with knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. If we can present Krishna in the way that Prabhupada was presenting Krishna, then certainly many people will be able to perceive the Krishna sun. Because when Vidura was coming back from pilgrimage, and Maharaj Yudhisthira saw him, he immediately remarked, Bhavan vidas bhagavatas tirtha bhutak swayam vibho, tirtani bhutani swantak stena katar bhutaha. That saints like yourself, they're verily holy places of pilgrimage, because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage because you carry Krishna within your heart. In other words, our whole aim is to become conscious of Krishna. And as much as we become conscious of Krishna, then we become ecstatically in love with Krishna to that extent. And everyone else, well, others can also perceive Krishna, because if Krishna is there in one person's heart, as much as they are receptive, they'll be able to perceive Krishna also, Krishna's presence there also, to some extent. The whole materialistic society is simply a denial of Krishna. But just like owls, they may not be able to see the sun, but those who can open their eyes, they'll be able to perceive and appreciate the sun and the sunlight. Therefore, it is said that, what is it? Pravritim cha nivrittim cha jana navidu asara nasocham napichacharo nasatyam teshu vidyate. Those who are demoniac, that those who don't follow the scriptures, those who are just acting according to the direction of their senses, they don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. They think making money and enjoying the senses, that's everything, because they have no higher goal of life. They don't know that they're a spiritual soul, and that there is a supreme spiritual soul, and that when they come in contact with the supreme spirit soul, they get everything they're looking for, namely eternal life, with full consciousness and full of different varieties of happiness and pleasure. They don't know that. Nate vidu swartha kitim vivishnu darashaya ye bahir artha manina. They take something completely insignificant, temporary, full of misery, not at all connected with the real self, and they take that as very valuable. And the real self and the real Supreme Personality of Godhead, they know nothing about. Andaya tandira upayamanas te pisha tantra uru dami bada. Because they've chosen the wrong persons as authorities. Although their authorities are continuously misleading them, because they themselves are accustomed to being cheated, therefore they take it as perfectly normal. They wouldn't expect their authorities to be honest and truthful. Otherwise, they wouldn't accept them as an authority. Because pravritim cha nivritim cha jana navidur asura, they don't know what's good and they don't know what's bad. They don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. They take something completely, which is bad for the self, they take that as the goal of life. And what's actually good for the self, they reject. So in the previous verse we were reading, that's called enviousness. They don't know that they're envious not only of God, that there can be a person absolutely good, absolutely full of all opulences. They're envious of God, but simultaneously they're envious of themselves because they're doing exactly what's not good for them. If you have a child and you do exactly the opposite of what's good for them, you'd say that this person's envious. So even for ourselves, with our real self, if we don't do what's actually good for our real self, then we're being envious of ourselves. What to speak of doing the wrong thing, which is absolutely bad for ourselves, instead of what's good for ourselves. So that means we don't even really, either we're in ignorance, we don't know what our self is, and therefore we're envious of our real self, even if it's explained to us. And what is the symptoms? Nasocham napichacharo. They're not clean, they're not truthful, they're not at all interested in the mode of goodness. They want to be, and what is the mind not being truthful or clean? It means that the mind is always agitated. They're never satisfied with what they have. They're always lamenting about the past, hankering for the future. There's nothing to be satisfied about in the present, hardly. Napichacharo. And therefore, they're always doing the wrong thing. And why is this? Because the satyama pratishtam te jagato hor anishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kima yakama ahaitukam. Basically, they have the wrong idea about themselves, about this world, about God. They've been trained up wrongly. As we've said before, even common sense has become very uncommon. Even you tell someone your body's changing, who can deny that? Even you say that you yourself are exactly the same person you were, the same person's conscious, now this body that was conscious of the 5-year-old body, who could deny it? And yet they add 1 plus 1 and they continuously get 3 or higher. Or they don't even try and add them together. They're too bewildered. 1 plus 1, oh, this is too complicated. Forget it. They can't arrive at the conclusion, yes, I am eternal. No, I can't be eternal. That's not possible. That means I wasted my life here. I'd rather waste billions of lives further rather than admit that I wasted one life so far. So this is all false ego. My false ego will not be happy to find out that I'm not the body. Because if I'm not the body, I'm not all these glorious things that I'm imagining myself to be, that I'm really not. So I'd rather be imagining that I'm great when I'm not. Better be a big fish in a small pond than a little fish in a big pond, or something like that. So it's just, the whole thing is just causes unwillingness to admit who we really are. We'd rather suffer in illusion than enjoy in reality. And the basic principle is that people just don't like the idea that anyone could be categorically better than them. They may be temporarily better than them, and therefore I'm envious and praying that they fall down, because the more people fall down, then the higher I am. If I'm at 10 and everyone else is at 20, then if everyone falls down a few notches below 10, then I get elevated. I won't do anything to elevate myself. I'm just hoping everyone else falls down. That way I'll be the supreme. Therefore, the conclusion is that if we want to do good for ourselves and we want to do good for others, the only real good is to explain to people that who you really are and what's really good for you. What is the real medicine? And at the same time, explain what is the ultimate goal, what is the ultimate good, not only to get out of the bodily concept of life, but even positive is to get into the spiritual conception of life. And it's not that we have to wait to the next life, wait to the end of life. It's a question of changing our awareness now, our attitude. First we change our understanding, then we change our activities, then we change our awareness, then we can change our attitude. If we're constantly doing everything in competition against Krishna, I just do whatever my senses and mind dictate, then we think I'm innocent, but we're not innocent. Anything more than a person who just goes to a store and whatever he looks at that he likes, he just picks up and puts in his mouth and eats it. And someone walks in and says, you're under arrest. Why am I under arrest? I was just doing what I felt like. That's perfectly normal. Yes, but you're responsible because you're a human being. If you were a cow and you went to a market, and you ate whatever was available, they may hit you with a stick, but they won't arrest you. But a human being who goes to a market and just tries to eat whatever they like, then you might get arrested. So similarly, we're walking around the material world doing what we feel like, what our senses and mind are dictating to us. And the senses and mind, they're made in such a way is if we follow them, they'll send us straight to hell. Adanta Gobhira Vishutam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam. That's the way they're made. If we want to go to hell, we just serve our senses however they're dictating to us, senses and mind. But human life is meant to transcend this dictation by following a higher dictation coming from Krishna. So that choice we have to make. That is our choice. And if we make that choice, that's not the only choice. That's not the end of the story. Then we have to change not only our activities, we have to change our understanding. Not that I got to follow these rules and regulations, because otherwise I'll get burnt by the illusory energy. So therefore I do it, although I don't like to. I'd prefer, as I said before, that there is only three regular principles, namely no meat, no fish, no eggs. But because there happens to be four, I got to follow them or else I'll get into trouble. Now one has to change one's consciousness, one's awareness, that actually everything here does belong to Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. And if I do that, if I follow that, we'll find out Krishna is actually reciprocates and he becomes my best friend and takes care of all my material and spiritual needs. It is not just a one-way thing. But if I have the right awareness, if I do things in the right consciousness, then the mood, we can change our mood from simply being whatever mode of nature we're attached to doing things without modes of nature. Brahmanyadayas karmani sangam tyaktva karotiya lipitena sapapena padma patrimi vambasa. One who's unattached to the work, and he works just like, doesn't become affected by the reactions of fruitive activity, just like the lotus leaf is untouched by water. So if we give up all our anxiety over the past, all our anxiety over the future, and we just happily perform our service to Krishna, not that we're unmindful of what the possible consequences are, but we leave it up to Krishna. Or as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, forget about the past that sleeps, nor does the future dream, but live in times that are we now, and progress thee will call. Just to be present and be happy that we can associate with Krishna just by chanting his name. If we don't take that seriously, that we're actually have the opportunity to associate with Krishna, and we let our minds wander all over the universe while we're chanting, then we're just not taking advantage of the opportunity that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has presented us. Because we don't have enough faith that Krishna is God, and that everything I'm hankering for, everything I was lamenting about, all these things would be forgotten about if we just become conscious of Krishna. That Krishna is so much superior to all our petty little desires in the past and the future, that it makes everything tuchavat or insignificant in comparison. But it's up to us to take it seriously and actually take shelter of Krishna's name without anxiety, masuchaha. So for that, we continuously hear that Krishna is not only God, he's full of all opulences, inconceivable opulences, and he's ultimately the best friend of everyone. Not only ourselves, but of every living entity. And that all this so-called scientific knowledge, as Prabhupada says here, is null and void because of their atheistic temperament. So their idea that everything's void, everything is ultimately made out of matter, everything is impersonal, this is because of their attitude towards Krishna. That's how they see things. If they change their attitude, then they'll see things differently. So it's not scientific, it's just their consciousness. And even the scientists know that according to your consciousness, all the results change. So they're looking for atheism, they're looking to kill Krishna, and sure enough, Krishna disappears from their consciousness. And if they're looking for Krishna, then they'll see Krishna everywhere. And that's not only for the scientists, that's for everyone. Depends what we're looking for. If we're looking to become God, then Krishna will not appear to us. And if we're looking to become the servant of Krishna, then Krishna at once appears to us. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains to us how, you know, karma is divided amongst all the people who participate in activity. Like, it's not only the person who slaughters an animal, but the person who transports it, the person who sells it, the person who eats it, like that. So I was wondering, you know, we have a enormous society and we are very much, you know, we like to eat a lot of milk. What's the kind of karma that we get for supporting the dairy industry, which is run off the slaughterhouses?
Does that really have something to do with the class I just gave? What is it? Anyhow, I think this is a perpetual question that's always answered. And something about should we be vegans? Do we get the karma for drinking milk from slaughtered cows?
About being vegans?
Well, that's what the vegans say, that we're getting karma from reactions from...
I was just wondering how it affects our society and the progress. You know, we want to do some...
Because we're taking the milk and we're offering it to Krishna. And if anyone's going to get the reaction, Krishna will get the reaction. But I don't think Krishna gets the reaction. Actually, the cows get benefited that we offer the milk. Now, whether we can digest the milk or not, whether it's healthy for us, and where our consciousness is, if we continuously hear it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, then when we drink the milk, we'll think, oh, I'm bad, I'm drinking this milk. And obviously, just the consciousness we have will give us a negative reaction. On the other hand, some people can't digest milk. They can't digest hardly anything nowadays, but to speak of milk, which is rather a heavy food. But as far as reactions from drinking milk, everything in Kali Yuga is being more or less controlled by sinful people. The grains we eat are not harvested by bulls. Those bulls are sent to the slaughterhouse because the people who are managing the tractors and getting on and have to get the oil for it, our grains are all produced of sinful reactions, sinful activities, killing bulls, fighting wars to get the oil to run the tractors. So maybe we shouldn't drink milk, we shouldn't eat grains, and all the fruit that we eat and the vegetables are all harvested in the same way and produced in the same way. Better just to stop eating. And that way we won't have any possibility of a sinful reaction. On the other hand, everything offered to Krishna, and we take it as Krishna's prasadam. And therefore, if we take it as Krishna's prasadam, we remember Krishna, then we'll become Krishna conscious. And even if there was some reaction, but just like Prashadra was a prince, the grandson of Manu, and he was assigned to herd, to guard the cows in Treta Yuga, because there was no, you know, electric fences and things. The Kshatriyas would stand there all night guarding the cows with their sword. So one cow, the cows were in the field, and during a dark moon night, one tiger came to eat the cows. So Prashadra heard the crying of the cows. He took his sword and swung, trying to kill the tiger. But there was no light. He didn't have a flashlight or anything. So he swung, and he cut off the head of a cow and cut the nose and ears of the tiger who fled. In any case, the next morning, when they found out that he had killed a cow, his spiritual master, Vashistha Muni, cursed him that because you killed a cow, you'll become a shudra in your next lifetime. So Prashadra gave up everything, went to the forest, meditated on Krishna, went back to the spiritual world and avoided becoming a shudra. So we meditate, if we eat prasadam and we think about Krishna and we go back to the spiritual world, we won't have to worry about any reaction in the future because we'll be in the spiritual world where there are no reactions. On the other hand, if we, of course, the best thing to do is have our own cows because milk is the most valuable food you can possibly eat. It's the only food given out of love, and it has all, it's the only food that immediately turns into ojas, the essence of the immune system within a day. Everything else takes at least 30 days. It's full of nutrition. It's full, it changes the consciousness of the drinker, gives it the consciousness of a more maternal, softer consciousness, which is good for devotion. But of course, there's so much propaganda because people don't like milk. They like the blood of the milk. They like eating the meat. So they become addicted to it. So they don't like the taste of milk, or curd, or cheese, or anything that tastes good. And if you give them other things, they hanker for them, because their taste is in the modes of ignorance and passion. Anyhow, it's a long subject matter. Yes.
Thank you for a very wonderful answer to that question, Maharaj. If I may add a little something, that we all know that if you're having milk or any milk product, it came from a live cow. You can't get milk from a dead cow. So what happens to the cow after the milk has been taken? That's really, you may say, yeah, you're partly responsible, but then you're also partly responsible when you shop in Whole Foods or Trader Joe's. They sell meat. So part of your dollar is going to support the meat industry. So if you're really so sensitive about what you're supporting, then move to Mayapur. You know, we have farms where you can actually live. No, I'm not serious. It's not a joke. We do have farms in ISKCON where somebody can live and actually grow their own cauliflowers and their own. If you're going to live in a city and be worried about supporting any kind of contaminated industry, then you can't do anything. Because everything you do, every dollar you spend, a portion of that dollar is going to support something abominable. If you shop in Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or any market, or even if you go to a vegetable market, that person who's selling you the veggies, they're going to take that dollar and go buy a hamburger. So in any way you spend your money in the city, you're supporting some kind of contaminated industry. The only way to get around that is to grow your own, either collectively or individually. We just can't avoid that. So to sit around and worry about where that milk came from and is that cow still alive or not, that's really not productive. Otherwise, you have to worry about every single dollar that you spend anywhere.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Good explanation for both of you. I was just thinking that in reflecting in the name of Govinda, being the who gives pleasure to the cows, and it's explained that Krishna is very dear to the cows and the brahmanas, but even more pleased than the brahmanas, he is protector of the cows. So if it's true that everything that we try to do is to please Krishna, wouldn't it be nice that, you know, like some devotees already doing it, that they're actually taking the one step further in which they say, and proudly, you know, like Tukaram, he says, I just want to let you know to all of you, the congregation, that this feast is being done in such a manner that it's ahimsa cow, ahimsa milk, all the products. So if we will make a little bit one step further, I mean, we will really get the blessings of Krishna. Unfortunately, we can. I know that we can justify and say so many things, and therefore, okay, let's go on the way it is. What to do? So
to
we,
do?
My point is that we shouldn't
preach
disregard. Yeah.
The essence is to preach the holy name.
Right.
Being a vegetarian, just like in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes at the Shiva Sangha, Shiva's Thakura, he invited one pure vegetarian who only drank milk. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his ahimsa milk, by the way. And he was performing his pastime of kirtan. And he stopped. He said, I can't feel any ecstasy. There's someone here who's not pure. So then Srivastava Thakura said, well, you know, I invited one person. He only drinks milk. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not impressed. He said, throw him out of here. So it's kirtan which will save people, not just drinking milk.
So both combination, kirtan, harinam.
We want, because if we drink nice milk, and we'll be able to digest it and get the full effect of it, and that will help us get some pure consciousness. We'll understand the value of the holy name. We'll understand the value of the Sankirtan movement.
Yeah, actually, I was not mentioning in regards to, like, for us, like we want something good, but just to please indirect to the cow.
We're not here to impress everyone.
Exactly.
We're here to preach the truth. So we don't emphasize the fact that we're drinking milk from a ahimsa cow. I mean, it's nice, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to spread the Sankirtan movement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada used to wear leather shoes and a coat because that way he was able to preach more effectively in the environment that he was. He was, you know, he didn't go up to all his British friends and say, do you know what kind of shoes I'm wearing? I'm wearing ahimsa shoes. Of course, they may have been ahimsa shoes. They may have come from leather from a dead cow. But it was, gentlemen were looked at if they just dressed properly. And therefore, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wanted to impress the message, therefore he wanted to create the atmosphere by which people could hear the message. So we do what's appropriate to create the right environment so that people hear our message. And that may be true sometimes. If we go to a vegan, you know, assembly of vegans, we may, obviously we don't want to wear leather shoes and a belt. It won't impress them. But the important thing is our message. And that may vary sometimes. It takes a very enlightened devotee to figure out what that appropriate means of preaching are and how to adjust things. But we shouldn't get so stuck in the current fads that goes on that we actually, you know, make it as a major part of our mission. Because some people will appreciate it. Some people will think we're crazy. And most people will think we're crazy. Because they have no knowledge. They have no idea what we're doing. So that's what we want to do, is enlighten people what we're doing, who Krishna is, who we are, what the goal of life is. And I get too much sidetracked. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam.